Recording. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. And as always, I am just so grateful that you are here because as we join and flow down and just take in these healing ideas, it strengthens these ideas in all of our minds and extends well beyond our call into the world, into ways that we cannot possibly conceive. So I'm grateful that you're here. Let's begin as we usually do with a period of meditation. So I invite you to allow your eyes to close if you'd like. And just turning your attention from without to within. As we turn within and just allowing the mind to just drop into our being, into a quiet, still space that we all share. And if it's helpful, because often when we turn inward and close our eyes, we might notice the chatter, the mind wandering, the monkey mind. Perhaps we can imagine that we're all here together in a circle with our hands joined, dropping into the same place. No clouds, no fogs, no fog, no thoughts. Nothing can stop us from joining in this quiet, still space within. And if you notice your mind drift, without judgment, just returning that wandering attention back to this intention to drop into this space, or even just dropping into this space. If we don't feel it, it's okay. It's the intention. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. And taking a nice, mindful, and deep breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Thank you, everyone. So in just a short bit, we will turn to our reading. We'll begin with a section on joy in Manual for Teachers. It's in part 4 under the characteristics of God's teachers. I'm sorry, it's part 4 of the manual, and then it's part 5 underneath that, joy. Before we start with our reading, I wanted to just pause and give some space. Last week, for those of you, I think most of you are here, but for those of you who weren't here, oh, Bruce, hi, Bruce. for those of you who weren't here, I shared quite unexpectedly. I sat after the call kind of stunned. I sort of just sat on my couch, like with that deer in headlight kind of feeling, because the guidance that I received when we were reading the section on gentleness last week, was overpowering, so gentle, but so firm to speak and to share what I've been experiencing, and only recently, rather recently learning that the Black Madonna is behind, all of the experiences that I've been having, the guidance that I've been receiving. And I'm getting clear guidance from her now to just give some space to see if anybody has any questions or just thoughts. I feel like a lot happened in the past week with sharing that. I shared that list of all the things that the Holy Spirit does for us. And I know both of those things generated questions and just discussion and just notes of gratitude. So thank you all just for, just being in this process and this journey, all of us together. I did feel moved to share that by a synchronicity. Today, someone reached out to me to let me know that Reverend Celeste Frazier, I think her last name is, gave a talk for the Speakeasy Spiritual Community, which is Maureen Muldoon's spiritual center. She gave a talk on the Black Madonna. I will share it in our Facebook group. Actually, what I'll do on this video in the description when I go after we're done and put in the description, I will share the link if anybody is interested in watching this video where Reverend Celeste shares more about the Black Madonna. But so much of what she said rang true for me with the Black Madonna now emerging in our consciousness. Why she's not in A Course in Miracles, I don't know, but the Black Madonna is recognized by the Vatican, she said, as not only the mother of Jesus, but the mother of God, and that the idea of the Black Madonna actually predates Christianity being the first mother. And Reverend Celeste shared something so profound that in the Bible, the story about the wedding where Jesus turns wine into water, I have not reread this, so I am just going based on what Reverend Celeste said, that Mary was the one who prompted Jesus, who told Jesus to turn the water into wine. And Reverend Celeste said, no one ever has noticed that Jesus did the things that he could. How did he learn them? Mary told him, to do that. Like his mother, she had to have known how to do that, how to guide him in ways that we've never noted before. So I found that to be quite profound. So I will share that link if any of you are interested in learning more about her. I definitely recommend watching Reverend Celeste's sermon. It's probably about 30 minutes in the whole service, and then there's a Q&A. It was just really good. So any comments or just questions that anybody has related to really anything before we get started? Aaron.
Yeah, just a note that when she asked him to turn water into wine, he said, he complained. He said, "Mother, are you going to make me do this now?" Because he didn't, he had a reluctance to the doing miracles for trivial things. Just want, just want that to be said, that he was, his mother asked him and got him to do it, but he really said, "Mother, can do you really need me to do this thing?" And so just FYI.
Thank you, Aaron. It's fascinating. It's really fascinating. Dave.
So this must be a symbol for something, turning the water into wine. It, I mean, as you said, Aaron, it can't just be a trivial act. There must have been some symbolism involved there.
Go for it, Aaron. Oh, do you need me to unmute?
Now it, yeah, it, it, oh, do you need, are
you, I hear you now.
Are you going to do the unmuting?
No, you're welcome to.
Because I was, I think I was, yeah, now I forgot what I was going to say.
The symbolism of the water into wine.
Yeah. Now remember, this is when he's young, and there are other books about Jesus when he was even younger. Apparently he did some mischievous things. And so he's young and he's still subject to his mother's wishes. But he's already, I think that to me, the symbol is he's already recognizing that miracles, you know, miracles as demonstration is more magic than it is function to show show the right way, to show the right way to think. Anyway, that's my response.
Yeah, thank you, Aaron. I was going to just say something similar with it, you know, not being about the spectacle, but showing that, like, if that can happen, it's because it's, you know, coming from our minds. It's part of a dream. It's part of an illusion. So why not? Thank you both for that. Anyone else? John.
I just want to thank you again for bringing the Black Madonna in. And I'm curious to know what she's saying and where she's, you know, guiding you and stuff. But I guess, you know, I don't know if that's for this time or not.
Well, it's all of us. One of the things, you know, that Reverend Celeste said that I was just so grateful to hear is that there's this emergence happening, and she's revealing herself. She used the term, and this is how I felt that she revealed herself to me. Reverend Celeste used that word. She's revealing herself. I don't know. I'm still in the middle of this, so I don't know like what it all means. I don't know where it's going, but I do know that it's part of it for me is a call, which I don't feel like I've been in a heady place with A Course in Miracles for a long time. I feel like I've been much more, you know, heart focused and, you know, not intellectualizing, but I do feel that her message, her vibe is to not bypass, to not intellectualize, to be, you know, so present and to really, recognize that what we see out there in form is like our body is of the same exact thing, and how we treat anything is how we are treating ourselves. And so it's interesting to me too, and I'll just add this, I've not studied A Course of Love. I don't know if anybody on our call, has anybody, actually, those of you who have camera on, has anybody dabbled with Course Love a little bit? I'm just learning about it. I'm in contact with Glenn Huffman, who's the publisher, and he just sent me some references because there is a section on Mary in there and the Divine Feminine. And so it's just interesting to me to see how that brings this piece in where, you know, A Course in Miracles maybe hasn't necessarily, at least obviously, up until this point. So John, I don't know where anything's going or what it's for, but it's strong and it's very real for me and, you know, others as well. Cause this, like I said, is not anything special, that's for sure. Aaron.
Is this the same Black Madonna who's represented in the south of France?
In southern Italy, yeah, all over, yeah, yep.
Okay.
Yep, thank you, Aaron. Oh, Fanny, did you want to add something?
Yeah.
Hi.
How you know that? Do you see?
I saw that you came off of mute.
Okay. Okay, yeah, maybe it's not something related to the Black Madonna.
That's fine.
It's more like my personal questions. Yeah, so for someone like us, right, who is on this journey, right, to undo the ego and stuff, right, but we still have the ego, right, in this world. So how do we actually see our so-called dark side, like the negative personalities, those... how to navigate that, and how do we see our actions that react in that way?
So are you, like, how do we see like the ego to undo it? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, how do we see ourselves for that part of us?
That's a great question. So, you know, an indicator, the first sort of like to kind of backtrack for me, an indicator can be, how do you feel? Are you feeling, you know, truly deeply peaceful, or are you feeling a lack of peace? And if there's any kind of lack of peace in any form, be it, you know, any of those like fear, anger, judgments, condemnation, whatever the feeling is, tracing it back and looking like, what is the situation? What are my judgments about the situation? That can bring us back to, you know, what's happening in my mind that I can look at. And so we can sort of start with, you know, how we're feeling and trace it back to the thought. And then perhaps with practicing that, we can have an easier and easier time just noticing the thoughts. I mean, seeing the ego, it can be as simple as noticing the thoughts that are going through your mind and not letting them go underground again. So for instance, a fleeting judgment thought or a fleeting fearful thought, even a fleeting anxious thought, catching those, and rather than just being like, oh, you know, just talking ourselves out of it or letting it go, remember that our small part is, because the Holy Spirit does so much for us, our small part is to seek out those blocks. And those blocks are some form of fear and guilt. You know, it's some form of fear and guilt that can show up, obviously thoughts, but if it's not easy to catch the thoughts, sometimes we can notice what's happening, you know, first in our experience, in our interactions with other people, and the lack of peace that we feel, even if we're in conflict situations, that can be a, you know, sort of like a red flag to point us back to looking within. So for me, it's really, you know, a lot of mind watching and observing our thinking, our thoughts, and having that transparency and honesty with the Holy Spirit that we always talk about.
Okay, so how about our ego personality instead of the feeling that you say, like, how do we see ourselves in the ego personality? I mean, is it like we have peace with that? If we are not peace, we look within why we are not peace with that part of us.
How do we see ourselves? How do we see that ego personality? You know, Fanny, I might have to give that some more thought, because I mean, the ego personality is of the body and of the Corinne, you know, of like Fanny, Corinne, John, Michelle. Yeah. I'm reading across my Zoom names here. All of our construct of who we identify as in this world is of the ego. So anything that comes out of that, like any desire, any self-initiative, and I mean small s self, any desire to, you know, point the finger, to make a certain outcome happen, that's all, you know, of the ego. And it's not that we're not going to do that, but again, it's that we have nothing that we would hide from the Holy Spirit, because this pathway, again, is not about, you know, self-correcting. Does that help a little bit? I know it's you're asking a big question. You're asking a big question. I'll give it some more thought. I know I have your email address and we can talk.
Okay.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Fanny.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheryl, I see your hand.
Hi. I was thinking while you were talking that one way for me that I recognize ego is reactiveness. So reactiveness can come in many forms. Somebody that is not acting from the ego usually is not going to be a reactive person. They're going to be very still with their emotions and act in a way that is mindful. And when we're reacting from the ego, we could be getting angry quickly. We could be getting defensive quickly. We could be knee-jerk, getting hurt, taking things personally, being offended. All this range of emotion that we feel like we need to bounce it back out to the world. And like I said, when we're not acting from the ego, we're very mindful in our response to others and our response to just what's happening in the world, because a very non-ego way of living is just loving what is. Just life happens and we respond instead of react. That's all.
That's really helpful, Cheryl. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you, Fanny. Aaron, would you like to add?
It worked. Great. You know, it's so hard to point to anything that we can communicate as separate bodies and not call that part of the ego. I mean, almost everything that we can identify to each other is of the ego. The separate bodies we're looking at, ego. You know, even pleasant reactions, even pleasant feelings, the ego, you know, can make you feel that. It's there's a difference between pleasure and peace. In fact, I was just reading a section, I don't remember where it is, but it put pleasure in the same category as pain. Because so it's not, you can't even say that, you know, this pleasant experience was not of the ego. It requires that it be completely unselfish and completely unafraid of union with your brothers. Otherwise, you know, you can say, I had this particularly wonderful day when I asked to have a wonderful day, and it's full of, you know, it can still be full of the ego. Trees, mountains, ego, they're separate things. They're pleasant. I think my problem is that I'm still too hooked on the ego world. There's too many things that I still love about it, and I don't want to love about them because I see too many things about the ego world that are just not pleasant. And I finally am ready to give them, I finally think I'm ready to give them up. Anyway.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you. If I can just add, you prompted a few thoughts and then I'm feeling we'll start reading. Things that I would say is that you don't have to give anything up. It's repurposed. It's transformed as we hand it over to Holy Spirit and ask to see it differently. We're not giving anything up. It's an exchange. And the things that you love about the, like, I can remember years ago having a conversation with my husband talking about, you know, the world not being real, all this coarse stuff. And he was like, but, you know, he's an artist. And he's like, but like that painting or like, you know, the ocean, like how can I not love that? And the course isn't, I don't feel like the course is saying disconnect. What's coming through for me is that it's about recognizing what is behind the image, what's behind the form. So I love nature. I love trees. It's the form of the tree is, again, not different than my body. What's pouring through is that which is behind it. That's what I love. Like, what is behind, and I say behind, you know, I'm talking about like beyond the form. God's love is easy for me to tap into through pictures of nature. So it's not about the picture. It's not about like the actual tree as a physical thing separate from me. It's that which is lighting it up from behind that I absolutely love. And so in what's, and Aaron, I'm not sure if you were able to tune into our call last week, but what's been happening for me is a, rather than a disconnection from the things that I love, what has been happening is that I love it so much. The non-duality comes up through the experience then, like the oneness comes through from, you know, beyond the form because of that love. So it's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit different. I've heard other teachers say, I can remember somebody saying, you know, you just need to disconnect from the body, disconnect from, you know, the tree, disconnect from the things that you love. And I'm personally, that's not where I am. Now I just, in the love is where I'm finding the form falling away and the unity, experiencing the unity, you know, of all things beyond it. So I just felt like adding that. So thank you for letting me. John, and then we'll start reading.
I want to agree with you because I had that trouble too of disconnecting with the body, you know, and even though I do still tell myself I'm not a body, I'm free. I get what you're saying. It is recognizing not only the oneness in ourselves and others, but in every living thing. Mm-hmm. And that's where that connectedness comes in, is that when we can connect with all living things and enjoying in that oneness, then we're kind of there, halfway there anyways. Mm-hmm. And like you say, we have that vision that you know, God's given us to help us get there.
Yeah. And absolutely.
We are not attached to it, right? Yeah, we are learning to let go of the attachment, but still, like what you guys say, then we still.
It's not repurposed.
Okay, repurposed, not attached. Okay.
Right. It's repurposed. Okay. And where our attachment really, really roots in to God. You know, that's where our attachment is. That's where our home is. That's where our attachment comes from. And we can see that through all shining from beyond, you know, the form.
Okay.
Thank you, Fanny. Steve.
Hello.
Hi.
Boy, you all triggered some really cool things for me. especially with your experience you shared last week, I think with your connection to the forest and that sort of thing, or your nature connection. Mm-hmm. It's probably been a month or so ago, I did a day trip up to the hills behind me, up in the mountains, and I got this nudge to take a right turn onto this dirt road, and I went back a couple hundred yards and found a little clearing there, and got out of my car and started walking around, and I just had this really peaceful calm just kind of settle over me, and my attention got drawn to this one particular tree, and it had three trunks coming out of it just growing up. It's a beautiful pine tree, and so I walked over to look at this thing, and you know, everything looked really pristine where I was at, and I walk up to this tree and there was three or four really old rusty tin cans sitting there. So I picked them up, and then I turn around and I walk around, and I get drawn to another tree. My head just gets snapped. I walk over there and there's a bunch of plastic. I mean, old, like this stuff had been there like for 20, 30 years. Mm-hmm. And I just start picking this stuff up. And within about an hour, I had a huge bag of trash. But yet I felt this connection. You know, we talk about this connection to nature and the oneness, and lo and behold, I'm turning into that tree hugger that I never thought I would ever be. You know? But oh my gosh, it was just really this weird connection, you know, and it was just really fulfilling. And that's kind of led me down this rabbit hole of through, you know, of course, the course has opened up all these avenues. Mm-hmm. And it's brought me into this, you know, awareness of the consciousness of nature and how we connect with it. Mm-hmm. When I just let the walls fall. Mm-hmm. And I had a thought drop into my head the other day, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but because it didn't come out of my head, it just fell in. And it says, I am not a human being with consciousness. I am, capital I am, consciousness being human. Mm. And that just blew me away, because it just kind of pulled all that stuff together. Mm-hmm. And when I think about that, then I seem to be able to connect to things a whole lot simpler, you know, mm-hmm. instead of, because when my ego mind tries to start figure things out, I just get all boggled up and, you know, I just don't see things the way I think I should be seeing them. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm. Wow, know. Steve.
I don't know. That may be way outside the box.
No,
it's a huge ass rabbit hole, but.
No, you're speaking about gentleness, which is what we read about last week, that gentleness, harm is impossible for God's teachers. That means I don't want to leave the plastic at the tree. You know, I want to pick up the garbage that I pass on the beach. That for me is just, it's gentleness with all things. And that's what your story just brought up for me, is that gentleness and that guidance that you received, like where you were turned, where you were led to go, and just feeling, I forget now your word that you said, but that connection, you said connection. Yeah. That's where I've been so tuned into that connection, you know, in the present and, so yeah, I'm right there with you. So I love your story.
That rabbit hole gets really big and really deep, because, oh my gosh, I could go on for hours talking about that stuff. But anyway, that's really a sidetrack from what we're doing here, but I believe it's all connected. You know, I think, you know, when we're talking about on a spiritual level, on a conscious level of what God really is and how we're connected to, you know, Jesus and the Black Madonna is coming into your life, you know, in huge, I mean, just in waves. You know, I'm going to throw this out there, but I'm thinking maybe you're opening up to be a channel for the Black Madonna to come through, or at least that energy.
You're not the first person who said that to me, but I'm not taking it like I have no idea. Like it might be like, you know, what happens is like, thunk, there it is, you know, like no big deal. Like it's just been these cool experiences and, you know, move on and that's it. I have no idea what is to come, but yeah.
Rocking it, girl.
And it's for all, and again, this is not about me. This is about all of us and what we are, all of us as miracle workers being called to do. It's all hands on deck, you know, right now in the world. My dad said to me the other day, you know, what happens when you get a bug, when you get like a virus, your body heats up. And what is the planet doing when, you know, things are amiss? It's heating up to start to, you know, set things straight. And this is just a time that is, I think, it's a very big time. And it's a big time of a huge wake up call for many of us. And, you know, miracle workers, we're asked to be in the world to extend love and extend miracles and knowing the truth. That's just the beauty of all of these teachings. And I can't remember if I said this last week or not, but in the epilogue of the workbook, I think I did say this, it says, you know, no more lessons are needed, because like your curriculum is your life. You will be guided. You will be asked to go, to do, to speak, you know, to be these things. And so we're all asked as miracle workers to be tuning into that, because each of us plays, we all play, you know, a very, very critical role. We all have our special function, each one of us.
What would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say, and to whom? I mean, that's how the way I see it, that's how we live the course. We live.
And Steve, I'm so glad you said that, because that now is more alive for me than ever. I've always thought of that, you know, as like a nice word, or like, oh, let me use that before I need to speak about something. Now it's like literally every day. I'm not saying those words consciously, but the feeling is there. Like, okay, you know, you lead the way. I'm stepping back and you lead. So that's it.
Yeah.
Yay. Woohoo. Thank you, Steve. Oh, wow. Okay. Let's do some reading. So we have some, you know, it's so funny that all this has transpired when we started this section in the Manual for Teachers on the characteristics of God's teachers. And I was like, I love this section. I love this section. So now we are going to read about joy. So I'm on page 1582 of the CE edition. It's part 5, joy. If you need to find it in a different edition, it is the Manual for Teachers, Part 4, What are the Characteristics of God's Teachers? And then it's underneath that, Part 5 on joy. That's just one paragraph. Joy is the inevitable result of gentleness. Gentleness means that fear is now impossible. And what could come to interfere with joy? The open hands of gentleness are always filled. The gentle have no pain. They cannot suffer. Why would they not be joyous? They are sure they are beloved and must be safe. Joy goes with gentleness as surely as grief attends attack. God's teachers trust in him, and they are sure his teacher goes before them, making sure no harm can come to them. They hold his gifts and follow in his way, because God's voice directs them in all things. Joy is their song of thanks, and Christ looks down on them in thanks as well. His need of them is just as great as theirs of him. How joyous it is to share the purpose of salvation. So, Steve, if you mind, if I put you on the spot, when you were feeling that, I mean, that gentleness, was there also joy? Was there also peace, like in just being moved, like you were moved? Would you describe other feelings in that?
Just a fullness. Really full, you know? And so there was no fear, there was no conflict, there was no ego babble going on, monkey mind, as you say. In that whole time frame, it was almost like time stood still, actually, you know? And when I finally sat down to eat my lunch, because I ended up eating lunch there, I didn't even look at my watch, but I looked up at the sun and I just kind of said it about maybe 2 or 3 o'clock, and it was spot on. It was 2:30 in the afternoon. But there was, I think, I don't know if I could wrap my hand around and say, yeah, I felt joy, but I just didn't feel anything else other than this fullness.
Thank you, and Steve.
To me, you know, when I look at that, then that's joy.
You know, I was just going to say that. what else other than that fullness is joy? That feeling of just feeling full and feeling so connected. And that to me is joy.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, Steve. Thank you. Thank you for letting me put you on the spot, because I just had a hunch. I had a hunch. Faden, were you going to share? I see you came off of mute.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. You know, the sentence that says joy is their song of thanks.
Mm.
You know, I tend to think of joy as something given to me, but that particular sentence shows me that joy is also a gift that I can give. And I like the song analogy, but I don't know. Any comments?
I love that you picked up on that sentence. And I agree with you that it's a beautiful thing to not just see it as something that is received, but that it's something that's given for thankfulness for what we truly are. So I love that you just highlighted that. And I also resonate with what you said about really loving it as a song. I'm thinking, am I going to remember? I can't think of the line. It's in a song of prayer, but like it's something like true prayer is a song of thankfulness or something to that effect. I love that sentence too. Thank you for that. I had something else that flew through my head and then flew out. Let me see if it comes back. Oh, I know what it was. I wanted to just make a connection when Steve, before you said that, like, you know, it was a feeling of fullness. And I wanted to make a connection to what Aaron was saying earlier about how, you know, even pleasant can be ego. And that's 100% accurate. All, you know, the ego can has a whole range of emotions, but this is speaking to something much deeper. And I feel like that term fullness really captures what joy is. It's not like that ego elation, but more of a joy that comes out of fullness. And as it says, is the result of gentleness. And I'm just back to that sentence that Faden just highlighted, joy is their song of thanks. When we can feel that thankfulness for who we truly are, for the fact that only the truth is true and nothing else can be true, we can express that gratitude with joy, with fullness. We experience it and we give it. Bruce.
Yeah, I'm appreciating this conversation immensely. I just was flashing on something that's one of my favorite quotes that is also a title of a workshop that Jeff Siebert gave for the Foundation for A Course in Miracles a few years ago that really stuck with me. Just the title alone kind of says it. And I'll put the link in the chat here to that quote. It's how else can you find joy in a joyless place except by realizing that you're not there? Mm. Meaning that, you know, our identity, when we remove our identity from ego investment, it's like, oh, we're free. And then I was thinking that kind of ties into 4th of July. the real freedom that we all want really is, mm-hmm. is the liberation from the tyranny of the ego. Mm-hmm. You know, England's small potatoes, but the real freedom is being liberated from an insane thought system and realizing that we're not, subject to the wicked king mm-hmm. of the ego. mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks.
Right. Oh, Bruce, thank you. I have a comment and I have a question for you. Are you behind the web edition? Did you help make that happen?
I was a cheerleader mostly. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've been thrilled to be a beta tester for about a year and a half. And, when it finally came out a few months ago, I was like, yay. Yeah. Yeah.
It's awesome to me. My favorite part is like, it just generates the references.
The annotation is so cool. Yeah. Just amazing. The links embedded. Yeah.
It's cool. Really cool. Yeah.
If anybody hasn't tried it, by all means, check it out. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can click on the link that's in the chat now. I just wanted to comment, Bruce, on the quote that you picked too. I want to read it again. How else can you find joy in a joyless place except by realizing that you are not there? And I just want to highlight that, again, I'm currently filming my From Anxiety to Love masterclass. And it's so funny to me too, because some of you like have known that it's been in the works for some time, and the delays that happened were, I couldn't do anything about them. And it's so funny to me to see it happening now, because it's a completely different class than it would have been had I filmed it, you know, a year or two ago. So in the class, I mentioned divine paradox, that like, it seems like with me saying, you know, about being so present and loving a tree so deeply, it sounds like I'm saying, hey, let's be in form and like, you know, cling to the form and love and love the form. But it's again, this paradox that by being fully in the body, not in my head so much, certainly the head, the ideas help, and I need my head. I need those, you know, those thoughts as I study the course, but being fully present to my body and not disconnected from it, it's been through that presence, through being in it, that the recognition that I'm not actually in it comes out of that. So it sounds like I'm saying two contradictory things, but that's just the paradox. So that came up for me with this quote that you shared, Bruce, and I love that quote. So thank you. Oh, Aaron, did you have your hand up before? Mute's not working. Do you want me to unmute you?
No.
There you go.
It what happens is the last thing you push on is what the space bar attends to. And so I clicked on the link.
Gotcha.
And the answer is yes, I did have something to say, but I forgot what it was. So I'll do it next round.
Sure. Thank you. Let me just see if there's anything else I want to comment on. Gentleness means that fear is now impossible. And what could come to interfere with joy, the open hands of gentleness are always filled. The gentle have no pain. They cannot suffer. Why would they not be joyous? That's all big. Roy, I see Roy's hand. Hi, Roy.
Everyone. So I think joy and gratitude and thankfulness come from the recognition that there is an alternative to suffering. And I think that that's really what the Course in Miracles has done for me is like, okay, let's have a look at the ways in which you hurt yourself. Let's look at the ways in which you make yourself angry and jealous. And let's look at the ways in which you bet against yourself. And then here's the Holy Spirit and the mind training that shows you, hey, there's another alternative to live in this world, that you don't have to self-flagellate and self-recriminate and have this disapproval of yourself, because all of that is encased within a wounded identity called the ego. And so what the Course in Miracles does, I think what has done for me is like what you were talking much earlier about mind watching and really, really getting a distance between what you consider yourself and what you consider to be the ego. Because the ego is mostly an unconscious movement, right? We're not actually aware it's operating until after the fact. It's when we have disproportionate reactions to something apparently small and that we are never upset for the reason that we think. And this whole idea about the ego is really an insane idea that we could be separate from life itself. We could be separate from God. And that's what creates the suffering. And that's what creates that sense of ontological guilt that sometimes we feel that's running through our system and through our bodies. And that's pain, right? And we are told consistently throughout the Course in Miracles that pain is a wrong perspective. It is being rooted in an identity that is not of God, that cannot be made by God, and it's not of God. So we are kind of like in this split, we all have split identities in this sense, because when we believe in the separation, then we also believe that we are separate from abundance and that life doesn't take care of us and that we are always constantly having to survive this body, which is a recipe for stress and anxiety, because everything that we think that we're doing is with regards to how can I survive this body, right? Everything, earn money, have money to pay the rent, have food. And it's not saying not to take care of the body, but it's saying, hey, you're looking at life through this darkened glass called lack, which is really the belief in separation. And that if you can recognize that everything that you do through the filter of the ego is a recipe for stress and anxiety, then the Holy Spirit can say, hey, let's step in here and show you another way. Right? Let's show you a way in which you can see the guiltlessness, right? The sinlessness, to not make the error real. And once you can get past the idea of looking within yourself and seeing all these muddied waters, these concrete blocks that just come, that just kind of like, they tend to fortify themselves every day, right? It's habitual reactions to things outside of us that we can't seem to want to feel the guilt and we can't seem to want to bear the guilt. We tend to project all that out. And so what I think the Course in Miracles has done for me is like, hey, let's reverse engineer that. Let's actually have a look and see, oh, okay, because I'm thinking this way, I feel this way. And because I'm feeling this way, I'm also breathing a particular way. And I have all these feelings within me that's coming from a sense of wrong thinking. So I think that when you can, the joy and the thankfulness and the thanksgiving comes from that recognition, and it's an awakening through relationships, essentially, right? And what the Course in Miracles is talking about, like if I think that my brother has sinned against me, then I'm actually identified with an ego, which only sees separation, which doesn't see the divine and the innocence in all of us, right? And I mean, the Course is pretty, pretty like brutal sometimes, and it says that if guilt is hell, then what is its opposite? Innocence is your joy. Is to be able to recognize that you are as God created you and that you've never been separated from anything and everyone. So to get back to Fanny's question, I think that one of the best ways that you can get into to find how you're gonna navigate all this is just to really, coming back to Corrine's point, is how do I actually feel, right? Because if I'm not at peace, then there must be some unconscious movement or some unconscious identification going on with some belief and some thought, which you can always trace to, I'm separate from God. If you can make that connection, then you know, then you can also recognize that the problem has been solved. And that's basically what I have to say.
Thank you, Roy.
So-called the negative ego personality is also a bit like a feeling, right? It's not a peace, right? I mean, the personality is not at peace, right? That's why we need to look within. Yeah, I kind of get it. Yeah.
So for me, it's like, if you can get a, for me, this is what works for me. And I'm not sure if it works for everyone, but it's, if I can actually see the ego in action, that I'm not the ego. Do you understand that? It's like it can do its thing and I can be at peace with it because I recognize it's not who I am. It's something that I have become identified with, but because I've become identified with it, I can also disidentify with it. So the Course in Miracles clearly says, leave the guilt of the ego to the Holy Spirit. Don't take on that guilt for yourself. Don't take on that upset for yourself, because what you're doing is that you are rehashing, the ego is coming in through the back door. You keep rehashing the past, right? And that really is the essence of the of why we have loss of peace of mind, is because we are, you know, we are suffering the past always, continually. And until we can see that we are continually suffering the past, and we never see things as they are, then I can look at the alternative, which is, I am as God created me. I don't have a past and I don't have a future. I actually don't have that, unless I'm fully identified with the ego. And that's what it means to be fully present, right? That's why you go hug a tree, or that's why you pick up a plastic bottle, you know, because you feel that connection. You're not disconnected. Because then the body gets repurposed for love and communication, as opposed to being made for attack and judgment. And those are the only two choices we have in this world. And that's how you navigate, is that you always come back again to choose again, right? That's the final reminder, keep choosing again, because it's so easy to be bitter. It's so easy to be resentful, right? Because these are habitual reactions that we have rehearsed from, you know, when we were children, right? When we felt underappreciated and we had this sense of tsunami of emotions that we didn't know how to deal with and look at. So choose again, that's always the invitation. And the point of power is always right here, right now. What is my choice right here, right now? Because future happiness is a meaningless concept.
Thank you, Roy. I just have to add one thing, and I put myself on mute because my neighbors have started with their fireworks. This ties together something that you said, and Fanny, your comment. One of the things that I have said before is that Corrine will always have anxiety in some form, but I'm learning I'm not Corrine. So in other words, the more that I learn that I'm not Corrine, the more that I have experiences of something beyond myself, the more that I feel identified with that, that's where then now I'm experiencing something different in this construct of Corrine, but it's not that, like, you know, I'm making effort to like fix my ego necessarily. It's that transfer of identity that happens. So thank you both. Thank you, Roy.
You guys, very useful.
Yeah, very useful. Thank you, Fanny. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So we're almost at the, Roy, you got a big yes, preach. I am right there with you, with Cheryl. I want to give you a high five. That was awesome. Thank you so much. I also just wanted to add to, you said something about, you know, the course not giving us any slack
one of my favorite course quotes is that if you are alert to the errors of your brother's ego, you must be seeing through your own. And that's always like, ouch, you know, it gives us no slack there. If we are pointing the finger, if we're pointing the finger, we get three fingers pointing back at us. So that's always a helpful reminder. Wow. Well, tonight is going to be one of those nights that we've read only one paragraph, which is totally fine. That's totally cool. I felt like we just needed some space. Anybody who hasn't shared, who feels moved to do so? Michelle.
Sorry, I always go to the top. Let's go to the top and it's not there. It's at the bottom. just a really quick comment because I know we're almost at time. For me, what jumped out for this with Joy, again, is just going back to what we were talking about last week about the connection with the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit is everything. Mm-hmm. So they are sure they are beloved and must be safe. I just love that. And they are sure his teacher goes before them, making sure no harm can come to them. I did have one, as I've been with my experience over the past year, it kind of brought me back to the course, which is wonderful, but I have been dealing with a lot of fear and I'm coming out of it now and looking at the guilt, which is behind it. Mm-hmm. So I've had a lot of fear thoughts and things like that, and it's getting a lot better, but I did have an experience this week where I had a fear thought and I just was like, okay, Holy Spirit, I just, you know, turn to the Holy Spirit. And I just had a beautiful experience where it was just like the Holy Spirit was the light and just came right in between me and the fear. Mm. And I just felt so safe. And I hadn't had that feeling in a long time. I've just, so the Holy Spirit is there and we are safe. And I'm hoping to hold that longer and get to that place where I is, but that's the Holy Spirit is, we are so safe and the Holy Spirit is right here and we're not alone. And so we can just turn whatever it is, whatever little, if it's a fear thought or a judgment thought or whatever it is, it's just Holy, like just bring everything to the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is right here for us. So that's just what jumped out for me. That was just that the safety and
that's beautiful. You know,
that would bring joy.
Yeah.
To know that we're not alone. Like we really do have that presence with us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, Michelle, absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much. Wow. Steve, were you going to add something else? No. Okay. I didn't know if you were off mute for, okay. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for being here and for tuning in. I'm grateful for every single one of you, for all of you who shared, all of you who held space and were just here and doing this work together. And I love you all. And I will see you again in a week. So have a beautiful, miracle-filled week, everyone.
Thank you, Corinne.
Goodbye. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you. Everyone. Thanks, Aaron. Bye, Dave. Bye, Fanny. Bye, Steve. Okay. Bye, Michelle. Bye, John. Bye, Christine. Bye, Mary. I'm not saying anybody's names. Everybody's names. Bye, Bruce. Bye, Dee. Bye, Fanny. Okay. I'm off. Bye, everyone.